And if you would take your Bible and open to 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's a Bible in the rack in front of you, and it's page 841. Page number 841. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're getting close to the end of our study in 1 Timothy. Actually, next Sunday morning at Cornerstone at 9 o'clock, we'll finish the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I want to begin reading with verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Let us pray. And now, Lord, as we open your word, and as we consider a biblical perspective on wealth, I pray that the truth of this passage would grip our mind, our heart, and our wealth. Speak to us now. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. I want to teach you a Greek word, remembering, of course, that 1 Timothy was originally written in the Greek language. The Greek word is plousios. If you're taking notes, it's spelled P-L-O-U-S-I-O-S. P-L-O-U-S-I-O-S. Plousios. Can you say that this morning? Very good. It means wealth or riches. And if you were reading this in the Greek text as it was originally written, you would immediately notice how Paul uses this word plousios, or riches. I want you to, in your English Bible, circle or underline the word plousios, verse 17. Command those who are plousios, rich, in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in plousios, riches, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who, plousios, richly, this is the third time the word occurs, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be plousios, rich in good deeds. Four times in this text, Paul uses the word plousios, the rich. If you go back to the teachings of Jesus, you discover that this is a word frequently used in the stories about Jesus. For example, in Matthew 19, a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, essentially, keep the commandments. And this young man says, "Well, I've kept all of these since I was a youth." By the way, this was not an arrogant answer. This was a sincere answer from someone who tried to obey God's law. Jesus says, what did he say to him? Yeah, sell all your possessions. Give to the poor. And come, follow me. And the text tells us that the young man went away sad. And then Jesus makes this statement. How hard it is for the plousios, for the rich, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says it's hard. Not impossible, but it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 27, the same word is used of Joseph of Arimathea, a plousios man, a rich man, who after the death of Jesus takes his body and places the body of Jesus in his own tomb. So while it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, it's not impossible. For Joseph, a plousios, a rich man, in fact, was a follower of Jesus. And then in Luke chapter 12, the story is told of a certain man who produced a great crop. And he said to himself, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And he says to himself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and party. But God said, you fool. Tonight I require your soul. And then Jesus adds this footnote. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not plousios, rich toward God. So I want to raise the question, verse 17, command those who are rich. I want to ask the question, who is really rich? Now, to answer that question, I need your help. Who has $2 cash? Anybody got $2? This is the new way of taking the offering. When you're a little short and the budget falls, I'll give it back to you. I know you're Dutch, so you'll want it back. Oops. What can you buy with $2? Well, not my, but what can you buy?
Donuts.
Krispy Kreme. You wouldn't get many Krispy Kreme donuts, would you, for $2? What else can you get for $2? Cappuccino. A gallon of gas. Yeah, if you get the cheap stuff up at Meijer. A gallon of milk, a loaf of bread. What else? Maybe an ice cream cone, maybe pop. Now, the first answer was probably the best. What can you get for $2? The answer is not much. Wouldn't last you very long, would it? Do you realize that over half the population of the world, that's 3 billion people, over half the population of the world live on less than $2 a day. That's food, shelter, clothing, expenses, taking care of a family. More than half of the population of the world live on less than $2 a day. Get your donut. So let me ask you a question. Do you think we're rich this morning? By that standard, we're very rich. But what does the Bible say? What is the standard from the Scriptures? Turn back a page to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if, now watch the text carefully. If we have food and clothing, we will be what? Content with that. Paul says the minimal level of contentment. Something to eat and something to wear. Food and clothing. Notice he does not add a house, a job, a savings account, a checking account, a car. He doesn't add a lot of the stuff that we think that we need. He said, if you have something to eat and if you have something to wear, that's enough. That's contentment. Anything beyond that is a benefit. Now, how many of you have clothes on this morning? Raise your hand. Good. How many of you had something to eat or will have something to eat before the day is over? Raise your hand. Paul said, if all you have is food and all you have is clothing, be content with that. I would like to suggest that the plousios, those who are rich, are those of us who have more than food to eat and clothing to wear. Now notice what he says to those who are rich. Chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this world. That actually would be all of us this morning. Command those who are rich in this present world, number one, not to be arrogant. Not to think of yourself as better than others. Nor to put your hope in plousios. And the verb to put your hope is used elsewhere in Scripture in a religious context. To put your hope in God, to trust in God, to rely on God, to depend upon God. Just don't be arrogant. Don't think of yourself as better than others. Number two, don't put your confidence in plousios, which is so uncertain. So uncertain. But to put your hope where? In God. And actually in the Greek text it says, in the living God. Don't put your hope in plousios, in wealth or riches or money, because that's uncertain. Put your hope in God, who is absolutely dependable and certain. Because he is the living God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now let me pause here and suggest two important biblical principles about wealth. Number one, riches or money or wealth is a gift from God. He's the source. Look again at the text. Put your hope in God, who richly, he's speaking to rich people, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Recognize that everything you possess is ultimately a gift from God. It's not your ability to make money that has made your money. It's not your marketing skills or even your hard work, because your mental ability and your marketing ability and your physical ability are ultimately gifts from God. That God is the source. He is the one who richly provides us with everything. Am I making sense? That God is the source of material blessing. Now, the second principle is even harder. And the second principle is that the God who provides everything for us wants us to enjoy it. That doesn't even feel spiritual, does it? But look at what he says. Who richly provides us with everything for our what? Enjoyment. The only other time the word enjoyment is used in the New Testament is Hebrews 11:25, and it's used in a sinful sense of Moses, who refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Paul says to Timothy, command those who are rich not to be arrogant, not to think of themselves better as better than others, nor to have their confidence in wealth, which is so uncertain, but rather let them put their hope in God, for he is the source of everything that we possess. And he has given us those things for our enjoyment. Let's keep reading. Verse 18. Command them to do good, to be plousios, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Rich in good deeds. I think there's a formula here. The more God blesses you with material wealth, the greater is your responsibility to be plousios, to be rich in good deeds. The more God blesses you with material things, the more generous and willing to share you need to be. Often the reverse is true. That the more we accumulate, the greedier we become. Often, the more God seems to bless us with material things, the more we want to hold on to them. But the image of this text is not this. The image of this text is an open hand, an open heart, and one who is plousios, who is rich in good deeds. So let me suggest a couple of biblical principles. It's not what I have that matters. It's what I do that matters. It's not what I have. It's what I do. I am to be rich in good deeds. It's not what I have that matters, but it's what I do with what I have that matters. To be generous, to be rich in good deeds, and to be quick and willing to share. I generally study Monday and Tuesday morning, so by Wednesday, I basically have my sermon, at least the essential content, put together. So the rest of the week, I have a chance to think it through, let it sort of soak in. And I have a favorite coffee shop that I go to quite often to drink a little cup of espresso. I've kind of broken my diet for my cup of espresso every day. And I'm sitting at this coffee shop the other day, sipping my espresso, and there are a couple of guys, older men, sitting a few tables over. And I don't know the larger context of what they were saying, so quoting this one guy, I fully recognize I may be quoting him out of context. But they're walking over to the table with their cups of coffee. And the one guy says to the other, with kind of an attitude of semi-disgust, "I tell you what, I don't give a penny to anybody I don't know." I thought, well, isn't that the spirit of 1 Timothy chapter 6? Isn't that the spirit of what Paul is talking about? No. When God blesses you with material blessings, with money, we have an equal responsibility to be plousios, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, to be willing to share, to hold our material blessings loosely. Verse 19. In this way, by living this way, by recognizing that wealth is a gift from God, God wants us to enjoy it, God wants us to share it, God wants us to be rich in good deeds. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. So that, and in the Greek text, this is a henna clause. It simply means that everything that has preceded is for this objective, for this purpose. So that by doing good, being rich in good deeds, being generous and willing to share, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, this is a tough text, because on the surface, what Paul appears to be saying is, if you're generous and rich in good deeds and willing to share, then because you've lived this way, you will lay hold on life that is truly eternal. He seems to be implying that the way to get to heaven is by doing good, being generous, and willing to share. Now hold your place in Timothy and turn to Romans chapter 10. Back a few pages, Romans chapter 10. I just want to remind you that salvation is not about doing good and being generous. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Will be saved. We know that salvation is confessing Jesus as Lord, believing in your heart God raised him from the dead. and that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men and women whereby we must be saved. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father unless they come through me. Salvation is not about doing good. It's about believing and receiving Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. Well, what about 1 Timothy 6 then? What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that when God saves you, he saves all of you. When God comes into your life, he is the Lord of every area of your life, including your money, including your wealth, including your plousios. It's not that you receive Jesus as your Savior and you control the rest of your life. Salvation is yielding the control of your soul and your life totally to the Lord. And so he says to Timothy, command those who are rich, plousios, to live a certain way, to hold their wealth loosely, to be generous, to be willing to share. Because this is evidence that God is the Lord of their material blessings. Now let me tie these together and give you five insights. We've talked about them through the sermon. About wealth and about money. Number one, wealth is a gift from God. Number two, the material possessions which we have, we ought to enjoy. Three, those of us who are rich are to be rich in good deeds. Four, wealth is meant to be shared. And then number five, how I deal with wealth reflects my faith and my future. How I deal with wealth reflects my faith. It shows where my confidence is. And it reflects the future. For remember, it was Jesus who said, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Let's read through the text again. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their confidence and trust in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope and confidence in the living God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Let us pray. Lord, I confess to you that this whole subject is a troubling subject. When we think of the fact that 3 billion people live on less than $2 a day, and we sit in a facility that costs $13 or $14 million, and we'll receive in our offerings tens of thousands of dollars. And we'll get into our cars and drive to our homes and realize that the change we have in our pocket and purse is more than billions of people live on every day. And that troubles us, Lord. And we're troubled when we read that you have given us everything richly for our enjoyment. We confess it would be a lot easier just to get rid of everything. Or it would be a lot easier not to struggle with it, just to embrace everything. But on the one hand, to acknowledge you as our source, and you've given us these things for our enjoyment, and yet on the other hand, to be generous and willing to share and rich in good deeds. This makes for a difficult and challenging journey. And I pray that we would never get comfortable with money and riches and wealth, because our ultimate confidence is in you. And we want to store up treasure in heaven, where it cannot be stolen or corroded or destroyed. So teach us, Lord, to be generous, to be rich in good deeds, and willing to share. This week, as you bring people into our life, may we respond with open hearts and open hands to their needs. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.